Great Country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tinor. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
From Dunkin' Donuts here in Prairie du Chien. I just want to start off today that I was really excited for Dunkin' Donuts because Iowa dominated.
That was an ugly game.
Iowa dominated Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I won the wager.
Yep.
And you forgot the coffee and donuts.
Well, it's not necessarily.
I think it's going to be a double or nothing now.
Not necessarily forgot. I just didn't have time to get to Dunkin'. So
I think it's got to be a double or nothing
I will make
now.
Sure next week you have your iced coffee so you are tolerable for the rest of the world after this interview.
Wow. There was a thing that happened this week. An election.
Yes. It's over. It's,
it's
over.
Over. It's over. We can go back to prescription drug commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Insurance companies.
Yeah.
I would miss Doug and Limu Emu or whatever.
I just, the commercials were just too much for me. Every time I saw one, didn't matter, the party, I always thought to myself, do people actually believe what they're saying? And does this actually sway somebody?
Well,
does it actually work? Think of the investment made in TV advertising and how many votes that that sways.
Well, I don't think you should come at me about advertising.
Well, probably not. But I'm just saying, like, I just...
You know what I think it does do? I think it confirms how you feel.
Okay.
So if you believe one thing mm-hmm. and you see your party's ad or your candidate's ad...
It gives you a psychological...
Yep. Yes.
Confirmation.
That's my guy.
Yep.
That's my gal. That's okay. My person. And when you see the attack ads,
yeah.
And you go, ah, wow, how dare they attack my candidate like that?
Yeah.
It's a confirmation thing.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's ever swayed like, oh, I heard an ad and you know what? I really like how they talked and they made a good point. They made me feel warm and fuzzy. Now I'm going to go vote for them. No, it's a confirmation of, yes, I believe them. I believe what they're going to do. I stand with them.
Yeah, one of the things I took away from this election cycle that we have not talked about is I firmly believe that the way you speak to voters has changed. And I'm not talking about like your tone or whatever. I'm talking about
the
issues and the mode in which you are using to speak to your voters. I think if either party takes nothing away, I think that they've really learned we have to be creative in the way that we're speaking to our voters. And I don't know. I'm so glad this is over.
For 2 years.
I hope 51% of the population was right or whatever the percentage is. And so we'll wait. Yeah, we'll wait, 27 months or however long it takes for the next.
Well, no, I mean, there'll be midterms in 2026, which, you know, it's funny because up until 2018 and then 2022, I didn't really believe. I'm like, oh, midterms are just kind of haha, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, now we're making a big deal of now the midterms.
They mean more than they ever did.
They
I
do.
Think. Yeah.
So again.
Yeah, my day was spent at the polls all day. I started my morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, escorting ballots to the polling places and standing by and making sure that there was no issues, and there were no issues. We didn't anticipate issues. But statewide and really nationally, it was the first time in my career where we actually had Zoom calls and in-person training on election law, electioneering, what can and can't happen at polls, what state statute allows you to remove people from polls, all those types of things. And, you know, there was an anticipation that there'd be disruptions. And I think nationally there was a few disruptions, nothing crazy. But, you know, we were prepared for that and to make sure that people had a sense of calm and civility at the polls was important. So
I mean, when I went, there was nobody in line.
Really?
I really lucked out.
You vote in Fenimore, obviously, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I even had to register that day.
At Hoffman Hall from 10 to 7 until probably, I'm going to say 10:30 a.m., there was a line.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was about a 40-minute lull, and then I think people's lunch hour started hitting around 11-ish.
Yeah.
And then there was a line throughout most of the afternoon. So great turnout. You know, from somebody who likes civics, I think that we should have a turnout like this at every election, no matter what it is
good
involved.
To see.
Yeah, it's good to see people taking advantage of that.
And, you know, I was talking with somebody earlier on Monday, and they said, oh, I don't think I'm going to vote. And I said, you know, even if it's not, if you think your vote doesn't matter, you can't decide on the, you know, the big ones.
Yeah.
You know, do a little bit of research, but also your local elections matter.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's where your vote is heard the most.
Yeah, for sure.
There wasn't a whole lot of like local referendums and issues or even, you know, city council or mayoral stuff like that. But it still does have an effect. I mean, Prairie du Chien had a referendum question. River Ridge did, some of the other places. So it's like, well, you know, that's where your voice is actually heard.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess if your candidate did not win what you were hoping to win, you know, that's what life is. And unfortunately, you know,
it's not always sunshine and roses, and you can't always win.
Yeah. And so I just, again, I hope there's some sense but you know, it's crazy. This whole cycle's just been mind blowing to me.
It is. I was actually talking to Cody Shambo yesterday. So I would have been 31 in 2016. And here we are 8 years later. And I said, this decade.
Yeah.
These last 8 years have felt like 20. Like normally they've flown by, but also I'm like, wow, that was a long decade.
Yeah. 2016 was a long time ago.
It's a very long time ago. When you look back on it, I'm like, oh man. Yeah. All right. Even just how the radio station operates. We weren't doing this 8 years ago.
No, we weren't.
We've only been doing it for 4 years.
But this goes back to my point of communication with people who vote. Like I think in 8 years, the modes in which we communicate have really changed. And
yeah,
you know, I think that's important. I think that's important to be on the cutting edge.
Even 4 years ago, you know, we talked about this off air. You know, Kamala was on a podcast, a very popular like women's podcast. Donald Trump was on Joe Rogan's podcast. Even 4 years ago, the idea of a presidential candidate.
On a podcast. Yeah. Well, when did you start listening to podcasts?
When you started suggesting
them. Well, when you started talking about the books and the murder mysteries and stuff that you're reading, I'm like, well, there's podcasts on that stuff.
It did. It started all with 2020 and being stuck inside my house.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Being tired of being on my phone, but just seeing the social media doom and gloom. And so I started reading then. And then everybody started telling me about podcasts. Yep. And so instead of, I could still have my phone in my hand, but I didn't have the doom and gloom of the social media posts. And
yeah, I will admit podcasts are one of my favorite things. I think, and again, I kind of relate because of the show, and I kind of see this as a podcast show a bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I listen to all sorts, a whole realm of podcasts, and I think they just strike a chord with me, and I enjoy conversation first and foremost.
Wait, are you telling me you like to talk?
No, I just enjoy the hearing perspectives, because I think perspectives are really important, and I think that that's where we fail a lot as humanity, is failing to open yourself up to vulnerability of other people's perspectives. And I think that's where podcasts meet me and my needs of seeing somebody else's perspective.
Well, and it's a very conversational style of listening. I think also, I will say this as somebody who's in the media, we almost got sick of the media telling us what to think.
Oh, sure.
And the harsh delivery that sometimes the media can have. I'm talking the news media. I'm not talking about Q94 staff. but... You know, it's a very harsh tone, and it's a very, you know, kind of just in your face. Whereas podcasts, you can find a niche thing that you enjoy, and then you can listen to conversations about that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even, you know, your nightly newscast can't go into depth for 35 minutes about an incident that happened.
Yeah. It, you know, it's kind of like the rules of writing a press release. Like you can't write a 3-page press release, because that's nobody's interested in that, right?
Yeah.
They may on a podcast talk about that, but on a nightly news broadcast where they have a 27-second clip of that, you can't. Well,
think about all of the press releases that you've ever sent out, and then come on this show, and then we've had a discussion about them. I mean, there have been press releases you've sent out where we've had discussions that covered 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or we come back a month later and I say, hey, follow up on an XYZ case.
Yeah. Well, my general rule for my press releases when I do send them out are less than a page. They have to be less than a page. Because again, you know this better than I do. Being in the business that you're in, you only have so much time to give the local news, right?
Yeah.
And nobody wants to listen to the local news for 20 minutes. That's just not a thing.
But they do want to listen to the local police chief talk for that long.
No. And Peter Jennings didn't have 20 minutes to talk about one topic either.
No, but that's why 60 Minutes was a thing.
Right.
And I mean, I think... You know, 60 Minutes and Dateline, those were the original podcasts.
Oh, sure.
Those are the investigative, we're going to dig right in. And then I can go down the rabbit hole of why traditional media mess things up. But that's a time for another podcast.
Yeah. The next election, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. It was very interesting for me because I watched the opposite news station from what would align with me politically.
Sure.
I watched the exact opposite news broadcast on purpose because I wanted to see their perception of how things were happening.
Yeah, and just the fact that
there's not a lot of people that will do that.
Yeah, but just the fact that you had to say that and we recognize that there's channels that have a political perspective is interesting to me. But I don't have cable at my house. I haven't had it for a number of years, so I didn't have like a mainstream media source to sit and watch. So I was following things as they were breaking on different social media accounts that I have. And it was an interesting night. I expected it, but I wasn't surprised by it.
Yeah.
But
there was an instance where I was watching and I was flipping back and forth. I think I was rotating between 4 channels.
Look at you.
I know, I'm a student of media. And I don't remember which one it was, whether it was CBS or whether it was CNN, was talking about how, does the mainstream media, is this a gut check for mainstream media because of what they were predicting, what they were saying was going to happen? You know, you had the poll out of Iowa.
Yeah.
That was the Des Moines Register poll.
I could not understand that for the life of me. A, the timing.
It was wild.
Like, why in the world? But,
and so the mainstream media picked that up and went with it and had this narrative going, and it turned out to not be the poll was wrong
by like 18 points or something.
It was wrong by a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the mainstream media is going, do we need to check ourselves? And I'm like, yes, you do. You really do.
Yeah. There's so many lessons to be learned from the last however many months, but just this last week, I think there's lessons to be learned. And, you know, again, I didn't expect the outcome, but I wasn't surprised either. At the same time, I was like, okay, as I take a 30,000-foot view of everything that's transpiring, doesn't surprise me, but it certainly was not expected. If I was a betting person, I wouldn't have bet on the events that happened on Tuesday.
Well, kind of shifting gears a little bit and moving away from the election and what you do as your job as police chief.
Yeah.
I know there was a case this week. You didn't send out a press release about it. But I believe this is the third instance.
Yes.
This calendar year.
Yeah.
In Prairie du Chien that involves...
Child pornography.
Pornography.
Yeah, so we did a search warrant on Election Day on Tuesday. I did not send out a press release because, A, the investigation continues, and, B, there's a lot of entities involved in this investigation, mainly federal agencies, that we kind of dance to a different tune when we involve these folks. And so I want to make sure that, you know, I have complete approval from them before I do out of official press release. But, yeah, another child pornography case. And this doesn't necessarily speak to the prevalence of child pornography as much as it does focus on our attention to it more, because we have the staff, we have the resources available to pay more attention to this stuff. And so this case, again, is one of those that is shocking to the core. And even to me as a police chief who reads these affidavits and search warrants that lead up to these cases, it's really appalling that where we're at. So I've said this before on this show. Know what your children are involved in. Know what social media accounts they have. Know who they're talking to. B, be involved in your kids' life. Be involved. Be Snoopy. Ask them who they're talking to. Ask them why they need their phone in the bathroom. Ask them what apps they're using, how they knew about that app, what they utilize that app for. Ask those difficult questions, because there are people in this world, unfortunately, who will prey on your children. And this is an instance of this. And we just have to be better as a society of asking those difficult questions of our kids, not with the intention of, you know, controlling their lives in any way, shape, or form, but protecting them from being a victim of crime. And it really speaks to that. And so, again, I've talked about this many times as well. My staff who do this work are tremendous, and their investigative skills are outstanding, and the trauma that they put themselves through to investigate these cases can't go unnoticed. So again, kudos to them. Great work. We worked with the sheriff's office on this case as well, because it kind of cross-referenced a little bit. And so, you know, we are proud that this has come to a conclusion. Again, I've talked about this at length, of the length of these investigations. This isn't something that we get on a Monday and we're done on Tuesday. This is a lengthy process of affidavits and search warrants and subpoenas. And it all comes together with an arrest of somebody who, quite frankly, needed to be arrested.
And you know what? Sometime I do want to do a longer
Let's do it.
And extended version talking about this. And because you brought up, we were just kind of briefly discussing it off air, the different channels, how this, you know, you work with some of these other agencies, mm-hmm. different, you know, not organizations,
yeah.
You know, different kind of systems that yep. are in place to check for this, and how when you get a subpoena and the information that you receive from that,
yeah.
Once you get that warrant and you get the information, how you know, sort through all yeah, of that, yeah. And then, you know, kind of build a case. So I think that would be really interesting, because you did a really good job off air explaining it to me. Yeah. So I don't know if we'll have time today, but put that on your calendar.
We could do that next week for sure.
Sounds good. It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tenor from Dunkin' Donuts in Prairie du Chien.